So we continue to talk about the fallout of the assassination of Charlie Kirk on a college campus. This is something that he's become known for. Started Turning Point USA, became a prominent voice in conservative politics, particularly amongst young people, and held these events on college campuses like he did in Utah, and was very tied into the thinking of young people and how that might intersect with some conservative thoughts. And obviously with the events of yesterday, how does that continue on college campuses? Let's bring in Robert Shibley, the special counsel for campus advocacy at the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Robert, it's good to have you. Your initial thoughts after seeing the news yesterday and the events play out throughout the day?
Well, of course, thank you for having me. And of course, our first thought should be for Charlie's wife and children and the people around him. With regard to what it means on college campuses and actually in the broader society, I think obviously it's a real blow to people's confidence to be able to speak out and have a respectful dialogue with one another. That was, in fact, what he was known for and what he was doing. At the time, he was at a Prove Me Wrong branded event. And instead of somebody arguing with him, they decided to silence him with a bullet. And it's difficult to imagine a worse message you could send, not just nationally, but to the students who had to witness that in person. It's a disturbing development, I think, for free speech on campus and in our broader society.
You know, that was going to be my question. You know, the governor of Utah, Robert, called this a political assassination. If violence is becoming a response to speech some disagree with, how dangerous is that trend in the future for the future of free expression here in the United States?
Well, it's actually wildly dangerous. I think it's much more dangerous than people understand, because having a society where we let our opponents speak and make their case is the alternative to violence that we've developed. I mean, it's easy to forget because we're in America, because we're blessed with the First Amendment for so long and the protections of free speech, that changing politics through violence was pretty much the norm up until, only a few hundred years ago. And I don't recommend that people go find the video and watch this, but I think people who are, there's a lot of people out there on the internet and elsewhere saying that, it's time for political violence, or they've been cheering for it. If you really feel that way, I think watching that video, that close-up video, will show you the real grim reality of what that would mean if we turn to violence instead of dialogue. Do that. And I think most people, it turns their stomach, and they need to realize that, that that's what they're asking for.
Through your foundation, Through Fire, you sort of track these free speech arguments and sort of assault on free speech all over the country. I saw this argument yesterday after this horrific thing that happened to Charlie Kirk, that we really aren't free. If we can't go out there and speak at this college campus, it's not a free country. Is that hyperbole?
No, I don't think that is hyperbole. Part of freedom is not just what the government says about what you can say, but what people feel free to say. And that's been recognized for hundreds of years. The philosopher John Stuart Mill talked about it. One of the more disturbing trends that we've been seeing in our polling of many thousands of college students across the country is that willingness of we ask students if there is ever any excuse to use violence to shut down a speaker. And that's increased from 20% in 2022 to 34% now here in 2025. And now Utah Valley University is actually the fifth lowest in that category. They're doing a good job on that. Of course, as time goes on, it seems less and less likely that the shooter was a student. But to the extent that that trend holds nationally, it is a real threat if people say, you know what, the time for talk is over, the time for violence is here. And if you see escalations from all sides of revenge, et cetera, we could be in for a really serious problem like we saw in the late 60s and early 70s when there were thousands of bombings for each of those years. I mean, it's almost impossible to conceive of that happening now. But that is a possible future for us.
How does this change the dialogue on college campuses, do you think? How do they handle these types of events going forward?
Well, I think we're going to see obviously more of a reluctance to have large outdoor events, which is a real, you know, it's a real loss, because obviously indoor events, even though you can secure them more effectively, are going to be smaller and fewer people are going to be able to attend them. I think you're going to obviously see increased security costs. But at the same time, I mean, this is a time for campuses to come together and make sure, you know, make an extra effort to be able to secure their, you know, whatever these events they're going to have, to say that you cannot win. We're not going to go in for violence to silence our opponents. And if you try to do that, we're going to make it impossible. And I think that's the right attitude to have. And I actually think I'm fairly hopeful that that will be the reaction. I mean, this is just awful. And I think that most normal people are saying, all right, we don't want any more of this. This needs to stop.
Speaking with Robert Shibley, Special Counsel for Campus Advocacy at Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression, or FIRE. And Robert, on a human level, you know, this tragedy leaves behind a wife and young kids, mm-hmm. and a lot of students who witnessed it firsthand. How can communities really balance mourning with reaffirming the principles of free expression that Charlie Kirk's presence on campus represented?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to do is recognize, sort of like you said there, that regardless of how you felt about his opinions, he could be you or me, right? He's just a person. He wasn't even in politics. He was literally just a guy willing to go around and have discussions about his political opinions. And that's what we expect Americans to be able to do. And so people really need to, frankly, apply the golden rule and say, how would I feel about this if I were in his place, or the place of his family, or the people who are watching? Because people need to realize that is, you know, we are all in this together in a really very real sense. And if Charlie Kirk can't do it, well, maybe you can't either. And what do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something that needs, I think we need to reckon with it. I think there needs to, yep. We need to look in the mirror and come to a decision on what we want to be and where we might be headed. It's not a good path. Robert Shibley, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time and your insight, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got it. It's tragic. Tragic.
On so many levels.
Yeah, so many levels. All right, we'll take a break. 7 o'clock hour coming up. We'll also talk to Jason Rowe. What Charlie Kirk meant to Republicans, conservative. It's coming up on JR Morning.